Dina Diamond, a very, very good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
How was your weekend?
Well. Oh, smashing or smashing?
Smashing.
Went to the art expo.
Oh, how was it?
It was really awesome. I mean, you know, it's really great to see the South African artists that get profiled and there's actually an artist. Her name is Lady Squally. I mean, she is.
She was actually on the cover
of the Sunday Times on the A-listers section. She was in this, like, literally like a swimming costume type thing with like a blue thing over it. And I saw her yesterday running around as well. And
please tell me she wasn't in a costume yesterday.
No, she was in some sort of leopard something something else. No, she is. I mean, her art is also very adventurous. But you know, like, when you go to a place like that.
What is adventurous a euphemism for?
Adventurous. Artistic. Okay. Creative. Right. And when you go there, I mean, I took my kids. I was actually there at the opening on Thursday, and then I went there yesterday with my kids, and they were just looking at these people because, you know, arty people
are so wonderful, creative, interesting things,
and it is refreshing, and it is a great, like, it's a change, you know what I mean? And you have to be exposed to all of that. And I said, guys, just take it in, enjoy it.
Yeah, it doesn't mean you have to do that. It just means have a look at what's around you, and why not celebrate
Absolutely. No, it was fantastic.
All right. So we're going to talk, we've had a lot of conversations over the last week or so around vaping. And we had Dr. Anton Meiberg in studio. Fairly sobering conversation that was. And since then, we're suddenly starting to see all of these articles about the dangers of vaping. And but there's no doubt about it that the success of this industry has come through its brilliant marketing.
Absolutely. I just want to start with that. Is it because of Anton Meiberg that Donald Trump has now wanting to ban?
We have noticed that a lot is that when we talk about something on this show, in the studio, it's just the ripple effect is just immense. It's not, you know, it's no longer that thing when a butterfly flaps its wings. You know, this is, this is a magpie.
Oh my gosh. So to get to the advertising part of it, I mean, so when we look at e-cigarettes, where they even came from, I mean, they've been around since 2003. It was actually a Chinese pharmacist that came up with it in 2003 because cigarettes and cigarette smoke was such an ill to society. And cigarette companies actually spend about, so what we call cigarette and smokeless companies, spend about 10, and this is just in the United States, $10 billion a year just on advertising. And you've seen that there's a massive shift to the e-cigarettes and all of that. And it's actually quite a fascinating thing, seeing that cigarette advertising in mainstream, like meaning TV and print and radio, has actually been banned in the United States since 1970. And before that, actually, it was banned in the UK in 1965. And South Africa was very much a laggard and only started banning cigarette advertising in 1998.
What?
Yeah.
We were allowed to advertise
here. How crazy is that?
Wow, incredible.
So, I mean, if you think about it, I mean, obviously the effects of smoking have become more and more public and more and more prevalent as time has passed. And then you started getting the signs on the cigarette boxes. So, I mean, that didn't deter any cigarette companies at all. From going out there, they were doing like special parties because they couldn't do mainstream advertising. They started doing billboards, anything that was alternate. But now if you look at the vaping industry, they are also one of the biggest, the actual producers of vapes. It's called Juul. And they also have spent they've been going since 2015. And they are the biggest producer of e-cigarettes. And they are spending also hundreds of millions of dollars. And predominantly now, though, through the internet.
I was going to say, because where I'm not seeing, I don't see, obviously I'm not their target market. Exactly, but.
You're the vegan target market.
Yeah, it's true that.
I don't think you smoke, they think you're a vegan.
I know, everybody thinks I'm a vegan. Yeah.
I mean, clear. So yeah, so a lot of it is on internet. It's all through social media. So they are spending a fortune on very targeted advertising, because you, in your social media advertising, you can target age, you can target group, you can target location, and that is where they're spending the money. So it's actually more cost effective to
And it's actually quite scary, because when I'm on the internet, I'm not seeing this because I'm not their target market. Mm-hmm. But it means but my kids are seeing it because they are being targeted. I've got no way of knowing
that they're actually
what
seeing
is what my kids are seeing.
Yeah,
so whereas, you know, we used to have it on TV. Everybody sees the same advert.
Mm-hmm. And when you could only choose your own channel. Now, every single one of my children is on their own
of course.
Channel.
Nobody watches TV anymore, I don't think.
I was like quite sad about that. I was thinking about it the other day, because every single one of my children and my husband and myself, we were all on different mediums, all watching our own thing. So there's no like communal watching anymore.
No,
that's why
no.
you actually have less control about what your children are seeing. And statistically, it's shown that about 80% of middle school to high school children are being exposed to at least one form of e-cigarette advertising, which is massive.
Absolutely massive.
It's an absolute massive number. And that is why now when we start looking at the advertising and the bans that are coming into play, we see that the United States are trying to ban flavored vapes. So that is because it appeals to that audience when you break it down.
Oh, that's interesting. I want to come back to that. Time is 8:16. I'm chatting to Dina Diamond. It is Marketing Mondays, and we're talking about the marketing of vaping. Time is 8:19. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem, 101.9 High FM, chatting to Dina Diamond. She's in studio for Marketing Mondays, and we're talking about the marketing of vaping. Have you seen any of the marketing? 34519 or 061-895-1019. I haven't. I can only see what I see is how cool the outlets are and the product is. I'm not seeing much of the advertising at all, clearly because I'm not the target market.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, as I said, it's very targeted. It's very much through social media, which gives these companies the ability to actually target specifically. Mm. And even though smoking globally has come down, there has been an actual drop in actual smoking, the increase in the youth in vaping has gone up dramatically, because it is seen as more accessible. It's seen as healthier. So the whole reason it came about was because, oh no, cigarettes are terrible for you, but let's give you an alternative that will help you seem like healthy. Yeah, and also it doesn't smell as bad. Mm. You don't have to, like, those people
doesn't seem
spraying.
Like a dirty habit. Mm. It's not a dirty. I mean, I remember my late grandmother smoking. She smoked till at the age of 86, and then she needed a hip operation.
Imagine how long she would have lived.
Well, no, she died at 94. She needed a hip replacement at 86, and the doctor said to her, "We're not doing this unless you stop smoking." And she looked at them and she said, "What? I'm going to die young." Anyway, she stopped smoking at 86 and lived until 94. But she used to hide the fact that she smoked from my grandfather.
I know, don't you love that?
And she would go down to the bottom of the garden, and then she'd spray 4711 all over herself.
But you can still smell it.
And then eat a mint. Of course you could smell it.
And all the smokers who used to spray something.
My grandfather used to pretend he didn't know.
Yeah, exactly. You can't not know.
Of course. So today.
I also had a roommate in New York, and she was smoking out the window.
Because
like
then one would
helps.
Never know.
But
the point is that with vaping, you can't tell. And that is part of the problem.
And also, not only that, but it's so appealing. It comes in cream caramel, and it comes in watermelon, and it's all these cool flavors. So it's got that real, from a marketing perspective, it's like really pseudo healthy. Cause like you're, what do you mean we're having like, it's just like a snack.
What's
almost.
In it? It's water.
Although now I actually heard the conversation the other day with, Anton Meiberg. And again, there are now six. So again, when you've got something new, you don't have enough scientific evidence, or you don't have enough medical facts to back you up to say that if it's healthy or not. But now we've seen that there are six related deaths specifically to vaping, which has had a huge, so actually the cigarette numbers went up, the actual shares of the cigarette companies went up. So if you look at Philip Morris International, British American Tobacco, those are the biggest companies in the world, Imperial Brands, then Japan Tobacco, China Tobacco, because the biggest amount of smokers actually are in China. And all those companies actually went up because it's actually a negative for smoking. Although, with that being said, all the tobacco companies actually have stakes in the vaping companies.
So well, it makes sense that they would.
No, absolutely.
And in fact, I think they mentioned that Philip Morris actually are launching their own brand soon.
Yeah. So there are 400, something like 493 brands of e-cigarettes in the market at the moment.
Incredible.
I'm actually just thinking, I think I've seen two malls where they have a stand.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they do.
The one time I remember...
Melrose Arch, I always walk past.
It's Melrose Arch. And they're opening up all over the place, actually.
Rosebank as well. I mean, there's a mall that I frequent, and I remember the one time saying to my brother, do they have to smoke it? Because the girls that are selling it were like, mm-hmm. we went past like three times and they kept smoking. I'm like, is that part of the job? Do you need to like smoke it the whole day?
Well, I think it probably is part of the job because how do you sell? You sell it a beautiful young girl or a cool young guy standing at a stand that looks fresh and they're smoking. Yeah, it's that's very good advertising. Well, that's
absolutely
good marketing.
Yeah. And again, it does. It looks so inviting and it doesn't seem unhealthy. It almost seems like a health shop. I mean,
it actually does.
And they're opening up all over the place. If you look, there's a brand that's particularly, it's opening up everywhere. And there's one, I think, opening up now in Hyde Park as well. Mm. And then it also extends into the THC oil. And what's now allowed from a cannabis point of view, and the levels that are allowed. So it's actually allowed to be sold over the counter.
So how does this work now in terms of, they're starting to be, I mean, how do you think it's going to work? We're starting to see this incredible pushback, from some government, the medical fraternity, maybe from parents. There's going to have to be a new shift in how this product is marketed. How do you think it's going to play out?
Well, I think a lot of it also depends on legislation on how you market. So if you look, so now we know cigarette advertising is a no-no. It's banned because that's definitely bad for you. And it's got the little things on the packaging, you know. So you don't, if you're a man, you don't take the one it's dangerous when pregnant.
Yeah,
don't
so those are the ones you smoke. No, those are the ones you do smoke because then you don't need to worry. I mean, like, heard anybody ever having the Surgeon General. Do we even have a Surgeon General?
We don't even know what that is.
I don't know what that is.
And what would one do if you were a Surgeon General?
He says it's very bad for our health.
Exactly. Right. So I think it does depend on legislation, and I think that legislation in countries is going to start catching up in terms of e-cigarettes. So it's been a bit of a loophole because you don't really have legislation that is appropriate or relates to e-cigarettes, but now it has been, especially now in the States again, they're looking, since there are now all these reported health and medical issues relating now to e-cigarettes, there's medical proof, they are now going to look at extending the current tobacco laws and regulations and prohibitions to e-cigarettes. So it exists, but there's no precedent. So how do you actually get the law to catch up to the reality? And you've seen that even in the digital space and different various areas where things that happen in the market and things happen so quickly that law actually takes a while to get promulgated and takes a while to get into actually instituted. Where you look now, Michigan actually is one of the first states in America actually, or even globally, that has actually banned flavored e-cigarettes and e-tobacco. And the reason they've done that is because it does have that appeal with the youth, and they've shown that it does have that addictive nature. So when you say how they're going to advertise, they're going to continue as long as they can, I think, to try and actually get as many people. Because once you've got people and once you have that level of addiction, because it is addictive and it does do something to the brain.
Hugely so, yes.
And it is as addictive, they're saying, all the reports that are coming out, it's as addictive as cocaine, as nicotine, as all of those things. And the younger you get people, the more addicted they are and the harder it is actually to stop, which is ironic because it was created to make people stop smoking. So,
what's very so difficult is if you think of it from a parent point of view, is it is so, the money sits on the side of the vaping, not on the side of doctors, health and educators. That's where it's being spent.
Absolutely.
And it's so difficult to fight that.
Yeah. I mean, that is actually the biggest. And also, when there's that social pressure and it seems so cool, and also it's only vape, it's only like smoke. I mean, I've actually been driving. I don't know if you've seen this, but it actually looks like someone's car's on fire. There's so much smoke coming out of there. And for me, because I grew up, I mean, my father smoked my whole life. He used to walk in and it was fine. If you were pregnant, if you had smoking.
No, there was never an issue.
Never an issue. Mm-hmm. And I've even been watching The Spy on Netflix.
Yes.
And it's obviously talks about the 60s and stuff. And people, when they were pregnant, were smoking, and it was fine.
I don't know if you ever saw Mad Men. It's just unbelievable.
It was never a bad thing. I mean, they even sold cigarettes, chocolate cigarettes, because it was cool for little kids to have.
I had
chocolate cigarettes and the sweets ones with the red on the end. Yeah, you could get all types of sweets that were cigarettes.
You don't see that anymore.
Whereas my kids don't even know what a cigarette is. They actually call it a smoker. That man's got a smoker.
That's so funny. So,
and it's so weird because they don't know what a cigarette is actually even called. So now there is actually legislation which prohibits cigarettes or any form of it being made into a sweet. Whereas for me, that was my best sweet ever.
Absolutely. That was so cool.
And those Stuyvesant ads, when you used to go to the movie, you were only cool if you were a Stuyvesant man, a Camel man. And there was the Gunston 500, so named after the cigarettes. There was the Dunhill Derby. There were all those big sponsorships that
But it's almost like vaping has come in under the radar.
It's like they
slipped this in and managed to achieve an enormous amount, and only now there's going to be pushback.
Absolutely. And that's why I say, from a marketing point of view, for as long as it's not regulated and prohibited, they will try and get out as much as possible to try and entice people and try and make it like, it's like a normal thing. It's not like a bad thing. It's not a dirty thing. It's really a cool thing. And I think that's where the danger comes in. And again, from a marketing perspective, I don't think there's going to be a change in the very near future, but when you look at it legislation now, I think it's going to start become a very big problem.
Yeah, I would imagine it will. Time is 8:28. Dina Diamond, absolutely fascinating conversation. This has been Marketing Mondays. I'm Howard Feldman.